Chapter 21.
"I heard you were here, Monsieur Poirot," said Inspector Morton when they were alone. "I came over with Superintendent Parwell. Dr. Larrabee phoned him about Mrs. Helen Abernethy, and he's come over to make inquiries. I wanted to ask a few questions, and the people I wanted to ask seemed very conveniently to be all here. Did you do that?"
"Yes, I did."
"And as a result, someone hit Mrs. Helen Abernethy on the head?"
"You must not blame me for that. If she had come to me... but she did not. Instead, she called her lawyer in London. Now, I will ask you, my friend, to give me a few more hours. Then I may be able to hand you a piece of solid evidence."
"We certainly need it," said Inspector Morton. "Though we have found out that two nuns were out collecting money and went to Mrs. Lansquenet's cottage on the day before she was murdered. No one answered when they knocked and rang. Mrs. Lansquenet was at the Abernethy funeral, and Gilchrist had gone out for the day. The point is that they say they heard sighs and groans from inside the cottage. So, was there someone there? And if so, who? All the Abernethy family were at the funeral."
"These nuns, did they return at a later date to try again?"
"Actually, they did, on the day of the inquest."
"That fits," said Hercule Poirot. "You will have noticed, Inspector, that the visit of the nuns was the same day that poisoned wedding cake found its way into that cottage."
"That's a ridiculous idea."
"My ideas are never ridiculous," said Hercule Poirot. "And now, mon cher, I must go in search of the late Richard Abernethy's niece."
"Now be careful what you say to Mrs. Banks."
"I do not mean Mrs. Banks. I mean Richard Abernethy's other niece."
Poirot found Rosamond sitting on a bench by a little pool.
"I thought you'd gone," she said. "It's past 12 o'clock."
"I have missed my train," said Poirot. "Do you know, madame, I have been sitting in the little summer house, hoping that you would, perhaps, visit me there."
"Why should I? I had a lot to think about. I don't often do much thinking. It seems a waste of time. But this is important. I think one ought to plan one's life just as one wants it to be."
"And that is what you are doing?"
"Well, yes. I was trying to make a decision about something."
"About your husband?"
"In a way."
Poirot waited a moment. Then he said,
"Inspector Morton has just arrived. He has come to get statements from you all about what you are doing on the day Cora Lansquenet was murdered."
"I see. Alibis," said Rosamond cheerfully. "That will be hell for Michael. He thinks I don't know he spent the day with that woman."
"How did you know?"
"It was obvious from the way he said he was going to lunch with Oscar. And his face always does something strange when he tells lies."
"How thankful I am not married to you, madame. He's not, I fear, a very faithful husband,"
Poirot suggested.
"No."
"But you do not mind?"
"Well, it's fun having a husband that all the other women want to steal from you."
Poirot was studying her.
"And suppose someone did succeed,
in stealing your husband away from you?
They won't, said Rosamond. Not now that there's Uncle Richard's money. He can finance his own shows. And he really is good. Not like me. I love acting, but I'm terrible at it, though I do look nice. No, I'm not worried about Michael anymore. Because it's my money, you see.
Her eyes met Poirot's.
I think, madame, that you must allow your cousin Susan to have the green marble table.
Rosamond's eyes opened very wide.
Why should I? I want it.
I know, but you will keep your husband, and poor Susan, she will lose hers.